so here we are, another episode of All Consumed with Chris Osborne and
Neil Davey. We're on a roll.
Oh,
we're
my goodness.
Like chicken tenders.
Yes,
yes.
In fact, I just had some chicken tenders on a roll at Dave's Hot Chicken, which is where we are recording now.
We are internet sensations.
Yes, we're influencers having chicken.
It's very good chicken.
Very good. Yeah, I haven't been here before.
You suggested it on the basis of it is. Yeah, I mean, it's one that I guess it is easy to write some of these places off as influencer central and whatever else. But actually, damn good chicken.
And tender. And hot. Hot and tender. Yeah. Just the way I like them.
Absolutely.
And I came here, walked by it here with an American friend back in December. Crazy queues. You go, I don't know if the queue's worth it, but it's worth checking that place out when you get a chance. Came and tried it. Now here we are again. The extra hot is hot, manageable, but it'll. You want something to drink afterward?
Yeah, I'm aware. We ate something spicy. But it's good. And tastes something, which is really nice. Yeah. And again, the queue seemed to have died down, so maybe that little sensation craze has gone. But it's absolutely, well, as you can probably hear from the background,
for a Monday,
it's absolutely rammed and has been for the last half hour or so, 45 minutes since we sat down.
A good place for us just to reconvene.
Yeah.
I think when we last left our listeners, we were both about to embark on some amazing adventures.
Indeed. And happily, I think they both turned out to be quite amazing.
Yeah, we both came back, had a great time. I was gone to Oslo for the better part of a week, and you went to?
I was in Victoria, British Columbia.
Okay.
So possibly as close to the United States as anyone wants to get. Right.
Okay,
now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Or maybe here today.
Sorry, my American friend.
Get some, I felt kind of funny actually recommending we come here to record because, like, do I really want to support America? I don't know. But anyway, hot chicken.
Maybe it's a franchise. But yeah, no, Victoria, beautiful part of the world.
Tell me about it.
British Columbia. So Vancouver Island. Is where I was. Beautiful scenery, lots of water, lots of little hidden coves and inlets, and it has something of a microclimate, so it's one of the mildest, most temperate bits of Canada.
Oh, right, okay.
So they called it a rain shadow. So it kind of rains a little bit further west, a little bit further east, a little bit further north, a little bit further south. But where Victoria is, the catch of that is that it attracts, there is a huge homeless population because it is so mild and temperate.
Yeah, okay.
And that's something I think they are trying to deal with, and it's kind of focused on certain areas. But downtown Victoria is a lovely little combination of actual proper old architecture and nice businesses and loads of independent businesses.
And fentanyl.
Which is nice to see. And fentanyl. There's the odd chain. There's a couple of Starbucks, but you kind of have to seek them out, which is nice.
Oh, that's good.
There's a big support for local businesses. And the restaurant scene is superb.
You're saying it's huge, huh?
Yes, the second per capita, it's the second highest number of restaurants in North America, second only to San Francisco. So it's the most in Canada.
Oh, my God.
Across all sorts of cuisines and disciplines and whatever. Had some very, very good vegan food. Had all sorts of stuff. I mean, first meal really was at a place called Ava's Schnitzel House.
Okay.
It's also known as the brunch capital of Canada.
Okay.
So I went there for brunch. So it's a couple of places they were kind of queuing kind of up the street for. Ava's hasn't quite caught the market in terms of brunch yet, but I think it will. It was superb. And they said the perfect thing when you sit down, they make all the schnitzel in-house, they make the bratwurst in-house, and as Jace, the general manager, explained to me as I sat down, said, yeah, we get two pigs every Monday. I go, now there's a statement I like to hear from a restaurant. Really good. They smoke meat twice a week, making their own cured meats, they make their own kind of charcuterie, own bratwurst, own schnitzel. Really, really good. Nice setting, right on the edge of Chinatown. Again, possibly the oldest it's the oldest continuous Chinatown in North America. San Francisco's is slightly older, but burned down in 1906.
Oh, right. Wow.
So this, yeah, again, rivaling San Francisco.
Was it someone from Victoria who did it?
Who knows?
I suppose
there's a lot of mining and stuff in the Vancouver Island. So, yeah, maybe maybe a little drilling and set off an earthquake. Oh, here we go. Speculation. There we go. There's a Netflix series waiting to happen. But yeah, like food everywhere was terrific. Jace recommended a burger to me, a place called Stage, to run out to. I've got a friend who I used to work with, moved back to Victoria. So she and her husband met me for a kind of secret menu burger. Fantastic little wine bar in a place, district called Fernwood. That was great. Possibly the most acclaimed restaurant in the area at the moment is a new place called Janevka. It's the owner of the restaurant. It's named after his three kids. I believe is Janelle, Ava, and Evan and Caitlin.
Okay.
So they just combine the names. But superb menu there. I'll put a link to the menu when we post this.
Okay.
Some really, really good food. Desserts, big fall off on dessert quality, bizarrely, and which I don't quite understand. But all the savoury stuff, absolutely bloody great. And then, yeah, a little place called Ugly Duckling, really enjoyed. Kind of a St. John's-esque idea of taking the bits of animal and produce and stuff that you wouldn't normally eat and changing them from Ugly Duckling to Swan on the plate.
Oh, wow.
And that was very good. As ever, it was a press trip, so that involved eating halibut at Ugly Duckling at about 10:30 in the morning. So that was
a bit of a
mindfuck. But it was good. Great coffee scene, great bakery scene.
Okay.
But possibly not as great a coffee scene as Oslo.
That was part of the reason.
If anyone has
as great a coffee scene as Oslo. Yeah, there might be some cities out there rivaling it, but I would say Oslo has one of the greatest coffee scenes in the world, okay? They are, I think, just behind Finland for highest consumption of coffee. And whereas when a lot of people think of great coffee culture, they're going to think of maybe espresso culture in sort of Italy, that sort of thing, which is great. The barista culture in Australia. All that's there, but what really is the highlight of an Oslo coffee experience is their filter coffees. So they just are able to get some of the best beans in the world, and then they roast them very lightly, and you're going to get you're going to get the true expression of the bean
right
there. And like, you'll go to somewhere, all the coffee shops look gorgeous. They're very simple, though. And you'll get a menu, and it's almost like a wine menu. Okay, so the varietal, where it's from, if it's washed or not, all these things. It's just putting things on a higher level than what you normally get when you go in for a coffee. And you get to choose what beans you want to try for your filter coffee or whatever. Wonderful. I went to a number of cafes. They were all great. I'm only going to highlight two, though. And one is Tim Windelbow or Windelbowie. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. Not a secret. Very highly rated. Any sort of world's best coffee shops is probably going to show up with good reason. And I went there on my first morning in Oslo and had what was probably the best coffee I've ever tasted in my life.
That's praise.
I just to read some of the notes. It was the El Vikingo, and it was from Honduras, a geisha coffee, if that means anything to you. Mm-hmm. So like a very delicate plant that just only going to grow in very specific parts of the world. And just the taste of it, mild tannic, light, like almost like a black tea on the tongue, acidic,
mouthwatering,
like a mandarin. It was also like just a little drop of lemon in a glass of water, very, very delicate. Mm-hmm. And then like something herby about it, almost like somebody just sprinkled just a touch of oregano or thyme into it. But then it just had a long finish. It was almost oily, unctuous, you know, it just stayed there on the tongue, on the mouth.
And this is poetry, my friend.
And it was very nicely presented and just wonderful. And I bought a bag of those beans home. So this morning, went to work, made myself a little thermos of coffee, and it made my work so much better than to drink that while doing the job.
It's a conversation I've had with a few people recently, like kind of those simple, the simple pleasures.
Yeah.
Or just taking, I mean, literally, you know, sort of, take time and smell the coffee. There was a lovely moment, my first morning in Victoria. And I had to travel all day. It was, you know, sort of flight to Toronto and another flight to Victoria. So it was a long, long day of traveling. Got in, you know, a couple of delays, got in just after midnight. Woke up, wandered across the bridge onto the sort of the main bit of Victoria from where I was staying the first time, the Delta, a Marriott hotel. And there was a coffee shop called Hey Happy. Okay. And it looked quite nice, looked busy and thriving. It was quite one of the few places that was open that time of the morning. And I wandered in, so grab some caffeine, thinking I will take this and then I will carry on wandering with no particular place to go. And as I ordered, the guy behind the counter just said, "You've got time to have that in, haven't you?"
And
I was like, yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
And It was a really nice reminder that you don't have to just grab it and go.
Yeah.
You can sit and savor. I mean, sounds like you savored this.
But it seems like that what people were doing at pretty much every coffee shop I went to. Just enjoying the moment, enjoying each other, having a nice coffee, making the most of a little thing. You know?
So that little be in the moment, like be conscious of what you're consuming.
Yeah.
Coffee is so often, it's not cheap. And we do tend to just grab them and run around town with them without really noticing what you're drinking.
And thinking of it as fuel.
Yeah.
More than a beverage or a moment for contemplation. So lovely.
Yeah.
And then the other coffee, I would say on my second day, I had what was probably the second best cup of coffee I ever had at another cafe called Solberg and Sanson. Solberg and Hansen. I think Solberg and Hansen has been in the coffee industry for a very long time. And they've got a concept store inside Mathallen, which is Norwegian is for Market Halls. And just by the way it looked and the typography of everything, I think it's the same folks that do Market Halls here in the UK.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, there at the concept store, I had another geisha coffee. And this one was Trinidad Geisha. Bought a bag of those beans as well. And it kind of had a spicy, cinnamon, mild pepper taste to it. And at the end, my barista was telling her, "Hey, I really enjoyed that. It was really good. I'd like to buy some beans." And she said, "Yeah, it's almost like it's saying fuck you to you, isn't it?" I was like, "Yeah." And so I just had a nice little moment there. I liked her tasting notes for this coffee. Yeah, it was really, really neat and interesting. And just like with wine, more and more what I like with coffee is something that's interesting. And this was delicious and interesting. So very nice. Beyond the coffee, other great reasons to visit Oslo would include probably my main reason for wanting to go there, and that's the Kon-Tiki Museum. On this little island,
this is something we've long associated with you, Mr. Oslo.
Yes. So they have this little museum island. I went to a few museums there. Really great. But the Kon-Tiki Museum was wonderful. For those who don't know, Kon-Tiki was a balsa wood raft that sailed from Peru to Polynesia in 1949 or 1950 by a crew of Norwegians. The leader was this guy, Thor Heyerdahl, and he had this theory that Polynesia was not settled from Asia, but from South America. And he tried to prove it by creating a balsa wood raft. And these guys, I mean, and this is obviously before satellite phones and everything we have now. They just went out and did it. and made it to a Polynesian island in the number of days that they said they would, just by following currents and wind patterns and things like that. And it became, they documented it. It's a great movie. Even now, I mean, it's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And his theories weren't proven correct, but they did prove a lot of things and show that there was a lot more interaction going on than what people originally mm-hmm. thought. And just kind of changed the way science, or at least the scientific community, approached things. And didn't just, and folks are less likely to poo-poo theories or to be closed off to things from different ways. So just really open people's minds, and also just prove the ingenuity of non-Western and non-modern people.
Absolutely. And in the process, inspired some really good concepts.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, so then, yeah, just that.
Win-win.
And then, like, the end of World War II, all these American GIs coming back to the South Pacific just fueled the tiki explosion in America, which is obviously something I'm very interested in. So they had, like, little exhibits about that. They actually have the balsa wood raft there.
Oh, amazing.
Look at. It's incredible to think they spent, I think, 101 days at sea in this thing. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A really, really great museum. And loved it. Another great museum there is the Edvard, the Munch Museum, all with Edvard Munch art. Obviously, most famous for the screen, which they have three versions of. They have a print and then two watercolors. So there's not just one screen.
That's why I always understood that there were various
versions.
But
these are like probably the three best ones. And so they're so delicate, you can only see one at a time for about 30 minutes, and then they close these curtains on the other two. So you get to see three if you wait around for it. A lot of his other work, and some of it huge, I had no idea. All of it's got a bit of an edge to it, kind of dark, but just amazing. And right. Then, you know, exhibitions.
To be fair, you want, like 24 hours of daylight and a lot of coffee.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and also just exhibits for artists inspired by him or for whatever reason, have a connection.
Yeah.
It's a great museum building. You get great views of the bay out there. And I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
Nobel Prize is, you know, from Oslo. So mm-hmm. Nobel has a museum there. That was great just to be sort of inspired by, you know, Dalai Lama, Mandela, Jimmy Carter, and just see the impact they made. All of this would have been really expensive on its own, just going to these museums and traveling around the city, but I got the Oslo Pass, which made it really cheap and easy. Public transportation there was a dream. It's not a huge city, so walking was a dream as well. That's great. And one more place that I definitely needed the Oslo Pass to get to was something called the Ekeberg Museum, Ekeberg Park, which is a big sculpture park, sort of built onto a side of, I don't know if it's a small mountain or a big hill, but it's big. Great different sculptures there. And then also this lovely museum, lovely restaurant. Great views over the bay, great views over the city. Had a very nice bowl of moules frites while there, and it just really seemed to be the right thing to eat at that moment, looking out over Oslo after absorbing all this art.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can keep going with Oslo recommendations.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It was, I'm kind of feeling the same with Victoria. I mean, the other hotel we've got to stay at was the Fairmont, called the Empress. So it's right by Parliament. They call Fairmont was known as the Castle on the Bay. I think is what it was called.
Why is there a Parliament in Victoria?
So, good question. I think it's just the local
province.
Yeah. Interesting. You have lots of Canadian flags flying at the moment. They've seized on their.
Patriotism
at the moment for some strange reason. The other great thing about the there's a lot of great things about the Fairmont. So lovely friendly staff, lovely room, very very good restaurant called Q at the Empress. Obviously,
big nods to Queen Victoria.
They have a resident marmot.
All right.
That's called a Roger. So you can... Yeah, they're making all sorts of jokes about the fact, yeah, there's a sign that says Roger the Marmot, and I did, and now I'm looking for another place to stay. it's a particular, and it's a species of marmot that is not indigenous to Victoria. And so they're not really sure where it came from. He's lived there for something like 19 years.
Wow.
They've attempted to relocate him, and he just keeps coming back. And he sits quite comfortably in this lovely little patch of their gardens. There are people who go and leave him bits of fruit and carrots and stuff. And why would you want to go anywhere else? And it's now become like my benchmark for, I think, for hotels.
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, oh, fantastic. Yeah, we've got a jacuzzi in your room and butler serving. Do you have a marmot?
Yes.
I know, but it's, so do I get a marmot?
Once upon a time.
You a good day.
I love that. When I used to live in New Jersey, we had a marmot that lived on the edge of the woods right in our back garden, our backyard. And we had a jack-o'-lantern for Halloween. And after Halloween, we put it there at the back garden, the edge of the woods, thinking the marmot might like to eat it. And so I looked out there one day, and it had, you know, you got the top cut out of the pumpkin for the jack-o'-lantern.
Yep.
He had gone in top, and all I could see was his bottom sticking out and his little legs in the air wiggling, and he was just going at that pumpkin, man, eating it. It was great.
You seem to pack a lot of personality into a very small creature.
Really, so that was adorable.
So that was fun. But yeah, no, otherwise, in terms of my exposure to the creative arts, I read a book. I seem to be a sucker for tube advertising for books at the moment.
Okay.
Well, I think it's just often because I'm reading on the train and finishing something. I go, what should I get? Oh, what do I want next? And I never go back to whatever I've already ordered on that's on the Kindle. We'll see a poster on the tube and go, well, that looks good. There's a book called James by Percival Everett. Percival Everett is possibly best known. He wrote a book called Erasure, which was turned into the film American Fiction.
Okay. It's a great movie.
Very, very good movie. Really interesting writer. I think he's the professor of English literature or something at a huge university in the US. Very... takes a very interesting stance on black lives in America and black lives through history. Very thought-provoking. Very intriguing, very, very funny. James is the story of a slave. It's around about the time of... so it's kind of set against the background with them. So the Huck Finn is one of the characters in the book. Something happens. They end up on this very strange adventure through bits of the southern US. Very clever, very, very funny, very satirical, very, very pointed. And it's interesting, so the book I read before that was Harry Belafonte's autobiography.
All right, wow.
Which was also very interesting. And his history with the civil rights movement.
Strong personality.
Amazing life, amazing history. But one of the things he's commenting on from like 1950s is that it's not necessarily, the inequality is not necessarily between races, it's between the wealthy and the poor. And that's the real battle. And you think, here we are, 70 years on from when he was commenting on that. And you go, yeah, so we've clearly learned a whole lot. And then, and the other little cultural thing, or cultural phenomenon, I picked up on and watched in two halves on various plane journeys, because it's a little intense to watch in one go, was the much discussed Adolescence, which I know you've caught up with.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Yeah,
it's powerful. I know people may not have seen it. I was told it's been top 10 in all 93 Netflix regions.
All right, yeah. Well, it's worth watching, yeah.
And whether, I think that may be as much to do with the style of the filming, where four episodes in four continuous takes, which is so phenomenally done. I ended up rewinding several episodes to go, well, hang on.
Yeah, how did they do that? Wait,
how did that happen? A lot more subtle than I thought it was going to be in terms of its subject matter. Given the ending is pretty much given away by the end of episode one, It's less a who done it, more a why done it. And then the fallout over various, over the next week, months, whatever. Astonishingly well done, and very subtle, just raises loads and loads of, it's the sort of thing you want everyone to watch, so you can talk about it and really explore the
boy character's name, Jamie?
Yes.
The actor who plays Jamie is phenomenal. Yeah. Obviously, everybody's great in this film, but I mean, he's this kid who really takes on some heavy-duty subject matter and can do it with, you know, in these long, continuous takes and shots without blinking, so to speak. It was really incredible.
Yeah, and turning personality-wise kind of on a sixpence. Very, as a very clever, very thought-provoking, not an easy watch. It kind of gets under your skin more than you necessarily realize while you're watching it. Well, certainly for me, but yeah, that was, yeah. So if you haven't seen it, and again, like the queue at Dave's, so there's a point where it goes from being kind of, is it a cultural phenomenon, or is it actually something really, really quite good? And it's something really, really impressive. Very, very good.
Neil, you could be describing the licorice I had in Norway.
So Stephen Graham will be subtle. Very, very flattered by
that. There's some amazing licorice all across the Nordic countries and Scandinavia. I think maybe the best I've ever had is from Norway and by a producer called Lakrids by Bulo.
Oh, man, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
they've got a shop in...
Yeah, I think they're in Selfridges.
Yeah.
And they've got a concession at the fancy shop department store in Oslo, Steen and Strom. Bigger selection than what I saw at the one here in London. Stocked up on it. They're sort of chocolate-covered licorices are really great. They do these like big, like fine handcrafted licorices that you can enjoy. It's just so good. So good. So I stocked up on that. They're great. Another thing specifically to Norway that I tried that was great is a brunost, a brown cheese.
I
brought you some.
And I have some to try later. We will talk about this in another episode.
And it's kind of like a caramelized cheddar. I don't know how else to describe it. It's got like that hard cheese flavor, but it's also kind of like toffee as well.
I was gonna say, it smells.
It's really good.
If you hadn't told me it was cheese, I would assume that was kind of coffee. Toffee, chocolatey to the aroma.
Really yummy. Best, I had it a few times. Best way I had it was on a waffle at this very iconic restaurant or waffle shop in Oslo called Harold's Waffle. And I had what I think they called the Super Classic, which is a cream, raspberry jam, and the brown cheese on top of it. It was delicious. A little too early in the day for me to eat ice cream, but they had a brown cheese ice cream there that I sampled. That was really good as well. It's really nice, yeah. And one thing that might put you off going to Oslo is it's pretty expensive. I had a very good pizza and a beer one night, and that was about 30 quid. That's a bit rough. Harold's Waffle was very affordable, as were these coffee shops I went to. So just saying.
Excellent. Funny, I actually have one final shout out. My final stop in Victoria, there was an ice cream shop I kept walking past that had been shut every day. And they were suddenly open like 2 hours before I had to jump in a taxi and go to the airport. Those were Better Acres. They got a sign outside boasting the fact that they don't use gum and everything is like completely natural, full fat, natural flavors. And I met the lady who started the company. She was in their very, very simple range of ice creams. Absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah?
Simple, rich, creamy, brilliant. If you happen to be in Victoria, I know she's looking at ways of trying to expand production and get them available elsewhere. So maybe it'll eventually spread like some of these things do. Really, really good. Just things done the right way. Much like
everything we've talked about today.
Okay.
I would say.
All right. So, anything else to add, my friend?
I think that's it.
All right, dude. Well, there you go. Quick guide to Oslo. Quick guide to Victoria.
Yeah. Well,
hot chicken in London along the way.
And more. And some music just playing underneath us by the sounds of things.
Ah.
Which must be The Year Was Strange.
And
it continues to be.
But with some good things.
So if people want to keep track you down, I mean, I know you were a little averse to the old socials.
You can find my blog, dickychris.com. It's still in existence. I started messing around with All Consume's actual Instagram feed at All Consume Pod. So might be some action
fantastic.
There.
That's when this comes live.
Yeah, what about you,
dude? You can track me down as Dying Hard. Occasionally on Blue Sky, haven't quite got to grips with it yet. There's a load of Victoria stuff on Instagram under the Dying Hard.
Dying Hard. All right. So, hey, thanks a lot, Neil.
Cheers, mate. Always a pleasure.